world outside your window may not be great, but what if everything was super? That's the question we're asking here on Post Show Recaps, the Everything is Super podcast, where we're talking all things superheroic, currently focused on the Marvel Cinematic Universe's What If, which just ended on Disney Plus this past week. Plus, as threatened, not even promised, but outright threatened, we are talking about Venom 2 today in full spoilerific detail. We will do that during the second half of the podcast. You'll have plenty of spoiler warning at this point. But this is the point where I tell you, I'm Josh Wigler, and I am joined here by my symbiotic alter ego who's constantly trying to eat people, Kevin Mahadeo.
They just taste so good, Josh.
The people.
So delicious. I just need to eat their brains in chocolate. What if he dips their brains into chocolate?
First of all, if you haven't watched Venom 2 yet, lightest of spoilers, chocolate and brains, very tasty to Venom. There's got to be like a top chef somewhere out there, Kevin, who is going to like be hired by Sony and or Marvel to like put together like a gourmet chocolate and brains dish for like a Venom themed event.
Listen, if you don't know, it's over now, but the show iZombie on CW, that was a big thing. Because the main
chocolate
character
and,
Liv,
and brains was a thing, or
brains
like gourmet
and other
brains.
Stuff. There was gourmet brains. She always tried to mix it into like food to make stuff. So like certainly one of the episodes had her in some sort of like chocolate fondue brain type situation. But it was one of the funnest parts because you got to see like the cooking of it, the chopping. That show is, I highly recommend that show also. It's a great, great show, especially if you're a Rob Thomas fan. Not a Matchbox 20 fan, but maybe also if you're a Matchbox 20
My brother loved iZombie. I never got into it. I never did it. But it's
because you never did Veronica Mars, man.
Veronica Mars is
Party Down for you, which is a good one, mind you, but
I haven't even done all of Party Down.
God, how are we friends?
Listen, I know
this
you
is
asked
why
this,
I keep trying to eat you.
I know you ask this question all the time when the truth is we're such good friends that we podcast about stupid superhero stuff every single week together. And you're never going to escape that vortex. Much like how certain characters are not going to escape some kind of crystalline alternate multiversal prison by the end of the What If finale, which will be the first thing that we're going to talk about today, because What If is over. And you don't even have to ask what if it continues into season two. It is confirmed for a second season. There are interviews out there in the wild, Kevin. I don't know if you've been reading any of like the postmortems on What If.
No, I haven't.
I know you haven't. Do you care to know any of that stuff? Or
sure. I mean, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, they're already working on it. They've got certain episodes that there's one specific episode from season one that didn't make it into season one due to COVID related delays that is now going to be in season two, which makes something from this finale make a lot more sense. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about the finale itself, which is, as we had anticipated, a big what if crossover. What if the Watcher broke his oath is what this one was called. We get to find out that answer. We'll talk through that answer. Before we do all of that, just a quick word. It is the birthday month of the Post Show Recaps Patreon program. Kevin, did you know that? Is that something that you've heard yet?
I feel like I may have heard whisperings of it, but I feel like what we really need is a party to really get it going.
Oh, wow. Are we going to have a party? Like an actual post-show recaps Patreon?
A post-show party just sounds like an actual thing. Like, that's things people do.
I mean I think that's kind of what it's like, you know, a post-show recaps party is sort of what it's like literally all of the time when you're a patron of post-show recaps.
That's the real party, Josh.
The party never stops because you get exclusive podcasts specifically for the post-show recaps patron feed, and you get access to our incredible community where we're interacting with so many people who listen to Everything Super, other podcasts on Post Show Recaps, talking TV, talking movies, talking all sorts of stuff, watching movies, watching TV with the patrons of Post Show Recaps on the Post Show Recaps patron Discord, which is where our community is hosted. The full Discord is available at the $10 level, but throughout the month of October, we have launched what we call the Campus Tour program, where the Post Show Recaps patron Discord is open to patrons at the $5 level. So not only are you getting those exclusive podcasts like YA, which is Kevin Mahadeo's young adult podcast that he does with Melissa Woodward, you're not only getting podcasts like that, but at that $5 level, at that first tier, you are getting to hang out with us in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord all throughout the month of October. It's been such a fun thing. We've met so many incredible people so far. We're really hyped because we just found out, Kevin, I don't know if you heard this, I just got this sent across my desk, that we're meeting you in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord at that $5 Campus Tour level. Yes, you, I'm talking to you. Yeah, you, the one. Yeah, it's you. That's you. I can't believe that you're going to sign up. It's so exciting. We're really, really hyped about it. Can't wait to meet you. You're going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You're just, you know, hitting that binge watcher level, and you are coming into the Postshow Recaps patron Discord. Kevin, can you even believe that?
I mean, it's pretty exciting, to say the least. I am so excited to meet you out there. The same way I actually met.
Can't believe it's you. That's so great.
I know. I'm going to give a shout out to a brand new $10 level Patreon subscriber named Bram, who part of the Discord fun is that, you know, there's all these live chat channels, and I hopped in there today, and he's brand new. He was at the $5 level. He did the Campus Tour, loved it so much that jumped into the $10 level, joined us today for a quick chat, and it was really awesome getting to talk to him. We had a really fun conversation, talked about Survivor Season 41, talked about some video games. So that was really awesome, just seeing someone who did the little tour around campus, enjoyed it so much, and hopped onto that $5 level, and I got to chat with them, which was really fun, on just a complete whim, because that happens every now and then. You just hop onto some channels, and you're like, let's just talk about this topic. So that was really great.
It's really, really fun.
I would love to see you out there as well, coming on in.
Yeah, an additional shout out to Bram. This is Bram's second podcast shout out on Post Show Recaps this week for this very same reason, having previously been shouted out on Lost Down the Hatch. Don't let it get to your head, Bram, but hey, you out there, maybe it's going to be you who's going to be talking with Kevin about Survivor 41 and all sorts of other things. Sounds like it's going to be, and that's just so great. It's so exciting. Can't wait to have you on board. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Don't know why I'm even repeating those words. You already know. You're at the site right now. It's so exciting. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Kevin, we are going to throw it to our sponsors super quick for this episode of Everything is Super. And when we return, we are going to talk about the What If finale. Okay, let's get into it, Kevin. Crossover Central on Marvel's What If.
To quote an actor who is part of the MCU, but from one of his other famous roles, boy, do I hate being right all the time.
We're starting here.
I'm not the only one.
Give it a chance. Ugh.
You and I both talked about it, right? What happened. Not enjoying it, but the what happened, right? Like the team up, the multiversal crossover is what we got in this episode.
Sure.
I'm Guardians of the Multiverse,
baby. Right.
So that part, listen, Marvel, I don't know what to, like, I hate to be like, goddamn, Marvel loves punking DC.
Yeah.
But Marvel loves punking DC. Because here's the thing about Guardians of the Multiverse. The way this episode starts, with Uatu going to these different universes, and to each of them being just like, Gamora, blah, 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 you know, like, you have been chosen. As he kept doing that, I was like, this is Green Lantern. Because the Green Lantern, which is a DC Comics property, a famous thing is that a Guardian, as they're called, will show up and be like, you have been chosen. You're welcome to the Green Lantern Corps.
Right.
Those people are called the Guardians of the Universe. And the fact that they call this group, after doing You Are Chosen, the Guardians of the Multiverse, man, the cojones on these guys. I love it.
Marvel got there first. What do you want? DC should have done better things with their movies.
I agree. It's amazing.
We'd be in a different world. They had Green Lantern. They biffed it, you know?
They biffed it real bad.
They biffed it so bad that they can't use Hal Jordan ever again. Like, you know, they ruined it. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about, obviously, with this episode of What If. It is not a surprise at this point that it's a crossover. It was very, very, very clear by the end of last week's episode that that was the direction we were going, and even the week before the anti-penultimate episode of What If, clearly we were going into some direction that was breaking new ground, with Thor and Jane's date being interrupted by Ultron showing up in the first place. So I don't know, Kevin, we've had time to calibrate for this, where I think you and I have both along the way, like, really talked about how much we've loved this show by and large, like, especially as like the unit of episode translates to like the unit of a movie in the MCU, that this feels like sort of like the closest comparison across the MCU shows so far in Disney Plus. But I think that we also were like, I like the self-contained nature. I think that it's really great that each one like feels like a different genre. It feels like a different story, all this stuff. So I would have expected, like, coming into the finale, that you and I would have been predisposed to, like, unless the finale like was out of this world incredible, that this episode probably would not have been like upper half of the series for either of us. So like for me, it's definitely not an upper half episode of Marvel's What If, but I'm not like prepared to like throw it out. Like, I'm not prepared to like burn it down. So I need to gut check you, Kevin, when you say like, I'm right. It's me. It's Kevin. And I'm right again. Well, like, what are we talking about here? Like, do you feel like this was a bad episode of TV? Like, where did you land with the finale?
Let me clarify this. When I said I was right, I think we were both right, because this is what we predicted was going to happen, right? That there was going to be this team up of all the various people. That's what I meant when I was like, hate being right all the time. This episode, ultimately, for me, I think we're on the same page here, Josh. Like, it's not going to crack the upper half. It's ultimately, for me, it's fine. It's fine. I didn't dislike it. There are elements I really enjoyed. I keep loving Captain Carter as a character. I will continue to love Captain Carter as a character forever. Haley Atwell in that role is so good. The more I see it, the more I'm just like, I do want her to show up in live action, man. Just like, it would be great. But like, the other parts of it was fine. The battle was fine. It was fine. I think what I really liked, honestly, was more about the ending. I liked the conversation with Uatu and Black Widow at the end. I liked how he solved that problem and put her into the universe that where all the heroes died. I liked a lot of that. I liked the Ultron being possessed by Armin Zola. I liked a lot of that stuff. Honestly, I feel like if they had not done the multiversal stuff and this just was like Black Widow trying to save her universe with Uatu and the Sorcerer Supreme or whatever he's called, if it was just them, I may have like come up a little bit more on the episode into that top five.
Sure, yeah.
But the multiversal stuff just felt like it happened because they needed a reason to unite everything, right? Like, it didn't feel like it was necessary, I guess, is where I'm going with that. And I do think, again, like, how do you go back, right? Like, we had this interesting team up. How do you now go back next season to just be like, all right, it's one-off episodes again until the finale where we'll maybe bring people together? Like, question mark?
Right.
But look, the things about that I still like, I love about this show. This show is not going anywhere for me in my ranking. It's still my favorite out of everything we've seen. The ending was not, to me, as we've said before, for Green Lantern, it wasn't biffed. Wanda is still good, WandaVision, but I know I had issues with the ending there. Same thing with Falcon and Winter Soldiers, a little bit with Loki. But ultimately, this is still my ranking number one. It's everything I wanted in this type of show. While it did some stuff in the finale I wasn't thrilled about, I will say the thing I'm most not thrilled about is the Killmonger part. Really wish that's not the way that part ended.
Killmonger, but, like, decides to, like, break off from, like, the greater good of the group.
No, of course he would. But, like, Uatu clearly brought him for that reason. But now that Killmonger is removed from his universe is pretty much null and void, right? Because he's gone now. He's just trapped in this space with Armin Zola fighting over the Infinity Stone. So his universe, I guess, is saved? But, like, the interesting part of that universe was the story being told, right? Like, Killmonger's plan coming to fruition. What does that mean after the fact? We'll never know now, and he's gone. So,
yeah,
like,
I think that
world went back to normal.
I think that that's a good point that, like, you know, there's, like, a quality about What If that the thing ends and you're left to sort of, like, continue the story. You know, like, you're left to, like, either, what happens, you know, once, like, a couple of people are deciding, like, you know what, Killmonger took over, but we're not going to stand by this. Like, you don't have to, like, you know, get another episode of that show in order to, like, tell that story to yourself. And in having the Killmonger from that scenario be a part of the Guardians of the Multiverse, and be part of, like, this huge big plan, and him to, like, have played, like, such a, like, sort of like a... like a fatal role in this thing where he is, like, you know, he's pulled out from his whole journey and being placed in some sort of infinite crystal, some sort of infinity stone, one might call it.
More of an infinity gem, maybe.
You know,
so
an infinity gem, an uncut infinity gem. That, like, now, like, you don't really get to do that anymore. Like, you don't really get to, like, wonder, like, how would Killmonger have, like, ruled that world, or how would he have been stopped? Like, that's just taken away. And that's kind of a bummer to me in terms of, like, what is, like, the strength of the show, which is, like, really fully exploring so many of these concepts and then, like, leaving you wanting a little bit more. And I think that I was, like, more disappointed with that in certain cases than others. I think... there's aspects of it where, like, Killmonger's probably the one that bums me out the most. I'm trying to think of, like, who would even really come close with that. I thought that they did a great job with Captain Carter. I want to live in the world where we're doing, like, the Captain America Winter Soldier timeline with Captain Carter.
Yes.
That was a really fun idea. That was really
absolutely
cool.
That when we first talked about the episode, that was my hope, right? Like, when we thought that, like, oh, Steve is fine, I was just like, man, it would have been cool if he was the Winter Soldier in this universe. And maybe that is what happened, right? They post-credit scene, she finds
right.
him. But what does it mean? Is he Steve, or is there more there? Is there something else? And I think that's really awesome. I think that's really cool. Presumably, we might actually get more of that story from what we know. But also just the... I don't know. I know people aren't as into this as I am, but I kind of love that the Captain Carter universe isn't that much different than
right.
ours, right? And I think that's interesting. I think that's cool. Just because Peggy got it doesn't mean that, like, a girl got
right.
the super soldier serum. Like, it doesn't change that much. I think like you could push it, right? Like, you could really, really push that. To reference something from comics that I'll explain is that Grant Morrison, who's a really famous comic book writer, loves to play with alternate universe stories and the multiverse. He has a whole series called Multiversity about it. And in one of the worlds, it's a story about President Superman, who is a black Superman. And in this world, he landed on Earth, and the majority of superheroes in this world are black. And the reason he did that is because he wanted to position the idea that Superman is always, no matter what world, almost this beacon, right? This beacon of aspiration and hope and pushing things forward and progress. And in this world, because Superman's black, progress pushed forward and the civil rights movement happened so much earlier. And, like, superheroes now are majority black because they you know, were essentially, like, uplifted in this world. And I like that idea that the world shifted and changed because of that. So it could have been interesting if they did it here, where maybe you end up in a world where A-Force, a.k.a. the female... Driven Avengers are the primary heroic team, right? If they really wanted to push it, because Captain Carter was the hero that came out and not Captain America. But I still also like the idea that, no, not much has changed, because just because Peggy has it doesn't mean everything is going to ripple. Like,
right.
It's not that big of a change. And
I
they,
mean, Peggy Carter, like, basically co-creates S.H.I.E.L.D., though, in the MCU Prime. So, like, there's definitely, like, a bunch of stuff that, like, if she's gone, like, how do these things happen? And so, like, that, I feel like there should be maybe a little more ripples than were suggested in what we saw. But I think that there's room to explore that. There's an interview on Variety with What If head writer A.C. Bradley and director Brian Andrews, they talk about what they're planning a little bit for next season, considering that post-credit scene, like, pretty clearly we will get more Captain Carter. They say, I would wager it's a relatively safe bet that she's discovering Steve Rogers still alive in the modern day. And they say that the difference between a twist ending that we were doing all season and a post-credits teaser is that a twist ending is fun, but a post-credits teaser is a promise. So that's the quote from them. So I imagine we get Captain Carter in season two as like another episode. But Kevin, do we get like a Captain Carter that is concerned with her specific universe in her own specific self-contained story? Or is Captain Carter concerned about the multiverse? You know what I mean? Because like, what are the ramifications of this team up for characters who we will continue to follow? Like, I imagine we will see more of like Doctor Strange, this version of Doctor Strange, right? Like, there's definitely characters from this world that will, there's no way, especially after this one, that they're not going to give us Vegas Thor again, you know? Like, so how did this change these characters moving forward if we check in on these people again?
I don't know. I feel like the instinct is that it should, right? Like, it should rock your world. It should rock your core if you know that there's multiverses that exist. If, like, your choices shift and change, like, there's other versions of you. It should really change you fundamentally in a way. But I don't think it will, because, like, that's too philosophical and deep for a lot of this stuff. I think Party Thor does not change. He's Party Thor, right? Like, he doesn't care about any of that. Maybe Star-Lord, it changes for him. Like, I think there are things that could change, but I really don't want to check in all these worlds that often, because I want other explorations. I want other journeys. I want to see other places.
Sure.
When you emphasize these characters this way, my worry is that it just will become these characters again and again. But that said, man, that's tough. Who would I want to check in on? I mean, the zombie reference here was really great. I thought that was really funny. I wouldn't mind just seeing in the zombie world some more, right?
Right, right. I was disappointed that they didn't bring Ant-Man's severed head.
Yeah,
they really should
have. Yeah, or the Hulk or something, right? Like, yeah. If it was, or any, like, if he has accesses to all these Wandas, bring some more Wandas.
Bring a few more Wandas. Yeah, I think it's probably a good call.
But yeah,
I'm always down for more Wandas.
What would you be like if you found out the existence of the multiverse? I would explode
immediately. I would be delivered concrete, irrefutable proof that there's a multiverse. Is that the supposition that gigantic guy with a huge bald head and a robe and nothing underneath shows up and says, "Josh Wiggler, you have been chosen"? Yeah, Kevin, I explode immediately. That's what happens. What happens, like, if I find out there's a multiverse, Kevin? I die immediately on the spot.
Die immediately. Just your head. Just,
and then, like,
insert mind blown gif.
And I would say like 99% of the me's across the multiverse have the same exact reaction.
Poor Josh. Poor small Josh.
That's my answer to your question.
Dimensionally.
Kevin, what happens to you if the Watcher comes, breaks his oath, and says, "Kevin Mahadeo, you have been chosen"? He selects you. What do you do if you learn about the multiverse?
I think I become paranoid that another version of myself is going to show up and kill me. That's where I am. Because I don't trust myself well enough. Either that, or like, there's a phenomenal animated movie called Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, I believe it's called, where the Batman character named Owlman finds this out, and he just becomes like the ultimate nihilist, because he's just like, if there's a multiverse of possibilities, it means nothing we do ever matters.
Oh, so, man.
His mission just becomes to erase all of existence, because nothing matters. So if nothing matters, then nothing should exist. Yeah. And so I thought that was really funny, and I was like, that's actually really great. So I could also just become a complete nihilist and just give up.
Yeah. Well, I feel like for some of these characters, they're not just going to be able to let it go. But I guess, like, so it depends on how much we do check-ins versus original stories for season two. I think it's a fair question. And I think with a first season that ended in an arc like this, it's hard for me to imagine that they're not just going to keep doing stuff like that. So they're interested.
You can't go back.
Like, I don't think that you really can. Yeah. But the other piece of that, Kevin, that, like, it's like so ironic. I feel like it's, you know, Marvel's What If is, like, you know, potentially bearing out to be like this microcosm of the Marvel Cinematic Universe experiment to begin with, where you had all of these individual stories and then they teamed up in the Avengers movie. And somehow, some way, those characters were able to, like, go back to their own movies, albeit with some knowledge of, like, you know, the greater shared universe. And there would be, like, winks and nods at that stuff. I anticipate that will be a big piece of like season two. We won't check in on every single storyline and every single character who we met here, but like, you got to believe that Captain Carter will lead some sort of multiversal charge by the end of season two. Like, there's like, if there's a longer arc across this show, I feel like they really positioned Captain Carter as like the main character of Marvel's What If.
I mean, that scene where she's running across the buildings and stuff and jumping onto Ultron, like, all of it was very awesome. I mean, the action, again, was on point.
It was really
cool. As much
cool.
as the fight was, like, the story and context reason about the fight, I was just like, whatever about. The fight itself was awesome. I mean, that was cool, right? Like, I thought that was all really interesting. Doctor Strange ate that one Infinity Stone. I mean, there's just so much in there that was very entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, it depends on the balance for me, right? At the end of the day, it'll be like, how much is new content versus how much are we checking in with other universes, the ones we're familiar with? And I think that's where, like, What If Season 2 is going to go for me. I'm jazzed either way, because again, like, multiverse content, please just stick it right in my veins. So I'm happy one way or another. Again, like, this was the show I wanted Loki to be, so I'm totally fine with all this.
I've spent so much of this episode wishing, again, I know we went here last week, but with him being such an important character, like, I wish that James Spader was doing Ultron. Like,
yeah,
Ultron just didn't really hold up for me, even like as powerful as Ultron was. And again, it's no shade to Ross Marquand, who's the voice actor, who I think is an incredible actor. It's just, it's not Spader. And like, Ultron not being,
you were right.
Ultron not being a flesh and blood like actor, you just need to like get the voice actor, but that's going to be the thing that's so iconically and memorably human. So it's going to be the hardest thing that you're replicating. Like, you can replicate Red Skull without Hugo Weaving, I think, because you're going to be able to get like a human performer to like go to it the way that they were able to do with motion capture for Infinity War and Endgame. But I think that that's so much harder to do with like a fully animated character to begin with in Ultron, who has this incredible voice that you just connect with, and then to like build a version of Ultron out as the main bad guy of What If, and you're having all of these other actors come back and do their parts, but you can't get Spader. And it's like, there's got to be an enemy out there that wasn't Ultron that like we could have built this story around potentially.
It could have been Bettany, and you get Paul Bettany to do the Vision stuff.
I really do think that would have been fun. Yeah,
because then that scene with Wanda could have been a little more something, right? Like, if you have Vision's voice, like if he spoke and she stopped and cocked her head in a way that wasn't zombie, you know, like my powers didn't do enough, like more of just like, that voice, I know that voice. That could have been interesting. Like, do the zombies have some sort of cognition? Like, that would have been interesting. That could have been actually an interesting story beat. So, there are choices they could have made. Ultron is going to be weird always and forever. Like, I know he's a major Marvel Universe villain, but, like, the MCU, Ultron's not the guy anymore, you know? Like, if we're not going to get Spader, I don't think it works. Yeah, overall, though, I mean, I think we're on the same page, right? I know a lot of people are really high on this episode. I'm not trying to take that away from them at all. I think both just you and I are sort of just like, we liked it. It's sort of where we ended up.
I really enjoyed it, but like, it was clearly not, you know, in the same league as some of the ones that I preferred. Like, I just like, just sort of like jotted this down really quickly. Like, this isn't like an official, like, this is how I would rank the episodes necessarily. More so that like, this is like gut checking, like sort of like the general range of stuff. Like, I have in like my upper tier, I have, I've got the Thor Goes to Vegas episode.
Yes.
T'Challa is Star-Lord.
For sure.
I like Doctor Strange losing his hands more than you did, Kevin, but I really liked that one. I loved the murder mystery, the world, what if the world lost its mightiest heroes?
100%.
I think like, any one of those four, like, I could say is like my favorite episode of the show. And then I really, really, really liked the Marvel Zombies episode, the Captain Carter episode, and Killmonger. Like, I thought those three episodes were really super fun. And then at the bottom, I've got the two-part finale, essentially. Like, I would slot the finale over the Ultron episode for me personally. And I'm only putting these here because, like, I've seen the Marvel team up before. What If was doing when it was really, really excellent for me was like showing me stuff that it hadn't done before, and like showing how you can make a half hour movie, which I thought was just like, you know, sort of like short films, really meaningful short like novellas in the MCU. And sometimes it's a comedy, you know, sometimes it's a tragedy. And like, I think the genre and tone when the show is at its best reflected the best of like the live action MCU. And like, I thought that the finale was totally fun. But like it was doing something that we've seen elsewhere in the Marvel catalog that has been done a lot better, elsewhere. I felt like this Ultron battle, like I would even put like, you know, like the Age of Ultron, you know, climactic team up, over what we got here, like, you know, and there are definitely like episodes of this series that I would rate higher than certain Marvel movies outright. But like, as far as like, let's get the heroes together and fight the big thing, like, I think that the other Ultron, final battle is the superior one, like the live action one.
Yeah. I mean, you also end up in a situation like this is sort of what I was a little bit worried about, right? It's too soon. It's too soon for this because we've seen it before. You can't say it's different. Just, I mean, yes, on paper it's different because it's the multiverse, but we really don't truly understand what that means because we've only seen a handful of multiverses, right? Like, we've only seen a handful of these other places. What would have been cool is if this was like an end of season two or season three type situation where after seeing like all these certain segments, after seeing so many different worlds and universes and learning about like all these different people, it would have been interesting if then you have to do a team up. And then the question becomes, oh, out of everything we've seen, who is he going to recruit? Because that would be interesting. Who are the people that will be called after we've had like, you know, 20 different universes and he's only going to have five people? Who are the five and why are the five? That's interesting, right? Like that gives a little bit of anticipation. When you've only had these episodes, who is he going to recruit? Well, probably the people we've seen. Right. Like it's just
there's not a lot of mystery to it.
There's not a lot of mystery. There's not a lot of entry beyond. And like you said, we've seen this. We've seen the team up. And yeah, we didn't know who Gamora is. That's probably episode that was pushed, I assume.
So there was an episode with Gamora, and it was actually like a Tony Stark episode that Gamora.
Oh, I was going to say, like, what is this place hating? This series hates Tony
Stark. This series hates Tony Stark. It's actually like, it feels really shady, right?
It feels targeted.
It feels very, very shady. This show has killed Tony Stark so many times, and then it's just outright dissed him.
Yeah. Not you, Stark.
It's like, whoa, well, okay. You're weirdo. Like, you're not picking me? And it's like, you're not picking Iron Man? It was going to be a Tony Stark-centric episode with Gamora. So it got pushed into season two.
Why is Gamora?
That is the answer to that question, is that this was meant to be a season one episode. But one of the animation houses, this is according to the Variety interview, one of the animation houses that was working on the show got hit really hard during the pandemic and they needed to push the episode into season two because they couldn't finish it on time. So that's why. But the PR spin on this is like, well, this is setting up a character you'll meet next season.
Sure. But how interesting would it have been if, again, like the mystery of it, what if we got characters we'd never met? Like, what if someone just pulled into this universe and it's like what we had? Like, it's that, like, Alligator Loki, and you're just like, what? Where did he come from? Like, that could have been interesting if you had a mix of only three from what we've seen previously and then, like, three new people that you're just like, who are these guys?
Sure.
And maybe we never get their story, but at least it's interesting. Again, possibility is the idea of what appeals to them about the multiverse, right? The endless possibilities. This was not an endless possibility situation. This was seven places, you know what I mean, that were the possibilities. And again, not saying I dislike this, right? Like, I'm not down this episode. I just think it's probably at the bottom of that list, too. Maybe the Doctor Strange one. Maybe the Doctor Strange is a little bit higher. It's somewhere around there for me. Those are three for me that are probably at the bottom.
Yeah. And then I'll also say that, like, you know, there were, like, episodes of some of the shows that we've seen so far where, like, I was like down on to a point of being like, I don't know that I loved that one. And there, like, even the finale, like, of What If, I thought was really good. Like, it's a graded scale. It's just how much I've really enjoyed the show.
It's great. By and the large, animation is so good. Like, it's, I remember really starting good. This and being like, I don't know
this sounds so complainy, and we are being little complainers, but like, you and I loved the show, like, really, really clearly. Yeah.
I want more. I want more now. I really can't wait till next year. Like, that's my thing.
Yes.
Jeffrey Wright is so good in it. The ending was a bit weird where he's just like, stories are important. And like, look, as a person who is a writer, we gotta stop. Stop doing it.
Stories matter.
You do it so much.
You tell the story now, and then someone hears it.
Just like,
they tell it to the next guy.
And they're just like, guys,
that's
relax.
How a story works.
It's like
pass
the Academy Award. Everyone's patting themselves on the back. Just relax, everyone. Just
pass it around. Give that story to the next one. They'll pass it to the other guy. And that's the story. Yeah, that was like how the show ended, which was amazing.
Art story's great.
Art's important. Yeah. I loved it. It was great. it's really, really, really funny. A bunch of reactions from the listeners to this episode and to What If overall. Topher says, well, that was fun. I was a little jarred by Gamora being there and kept wondering what her episode would have been about and felt like we missed something really cool. And I'm not entirely sure which world Black Widow joined back up in. They said a team
definitely is the one. Yeah, the Earth's Mightiest, I think, were gone.
They said a team of replacement Avengers, so I guess that would be the one where Ant-Man killed everybody. I have tons of questions, says Topher, and I think that leaves me slightly unsatisfied by the end. But during the episode, I was enthralled and filled with enjoyment. I think I had like a similar feeling, Kevin, that Topher's describing, where like I felt like slightly unsatisfied by the end, but I was enthralled and enjoying it the whole time. But I was like kind of like cognizant of both of those feelings while I was watching the episode, like, this is like a fun moment. And then another piece being like, but it's like, now I have like some questions that like, I don't know, like that I wish I didn't have right now.
Well, certainly to an extent, right? Like where one, you're enjoying the fact that Dr. Strange can't give a speech, right? Like that's very funny where he's trying to give a toast and he's just rambly and not very engaging. Yeah. And then that's an entertaining. And then the next moment, you're just like, okay, but like the Watcher broke his oath sort of in the first one, right? I guess he's breaking his oath now. But then at the end, he's just like, I'm not supposed to interfere. But he definitely did. So like there's a lot of questions even on the Watcher himself. And like, what does it mean to break his oath? Do we have a consequence for this? Like you broke your oath. What is something going to happen in the comics? Yeah. Like a universe got destroyed because of it. And this is like he broke his oath because a universe got destroyed. So I'm not too sure what him breaking his oath is supposed to do, but I guess maybe we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a character do you think the Watcher will be moving forward? I mean, can you put that back? Can we just like have episodes where the Watcher is like super dry and not being that involved? Or I guess maybe the better unit of measurement, Kevin, would be like, could you have a full season go by without the Watcher having like something of like a character-y moment, you know, like something like relatively like character moving or mythology heavy? Like, is that possible in a season of What If after like having him intercede in the show's events in the first season? Can you go back from that?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're gonna certainly try, and to an extent, like, I would like that, right? Like, it'd be weird if every universe saw a peek at him or something like that. Although there are people in our universe who definitely see him constantly. So he's not like He's not unpresent in the Marvel main universe, the 616, as it's called in the comics.
Right, right. So I think that there's room to explore him more as a character, and I'm interested in that. I really enjoyed like the ridiculousness of the trust the stories ending aside. I really do just like enjoy, like, I loved him like summoning everybody to like the bar.
Yeah, that was a cool setting piece for sure. In the comics, he lives on the moon. So, like, if whenever you see him, he's just chilling on the moon.
Chilling on the moon. Yeah. Did you have any further thoughts, like, moving you forward, like, moving the needle forward one way or the other for you as it pertains to Las Vegas Thor in this episode? Did it make you love him more? Did the joke go on too long? Like, where did you land with Vegas Thor?
No, I love that guy. He's ridiculous. Yeah. Do I want that to be like our Thor? No. But like, as a ridiculous character, of like, that's where Thor ended up.
He's like good guy Gaston, right? You know, he's like,
that's such a great description. And I do love Gaston. He's one of my favorite Disney villains. So yeah, that's fantastic.
Isn't he, though?
He's what if Gaston was a good guy?
Yeah, it kind of is. It's sort of
what
like...
What is this book?
Yeah.
What are you reading?
Yeah.
Where are the pictures?
Yeah.
Incredible.
I feel like Vegas Thor like has a lot of that same swagger and self-assuredness, but is also not like a bad guy. He's going to like murder you. He's going to try and party with you really hard, but he's going to be really into himself as well.
I did like that art, because like that was, by the way, Armin Zola just being like, I'm going to take these Infinity Stones is exactly where I thought things were going to go. So I love that they did that. That he
this
was just
a
like,
great,
oh, I'm going to take these.
This is a great bit of feedback from Todd, the librarian. Todd says, this whole series was just an excuse to get a stomach-faced Arnim Zola. It was worth it.
Yes, yes. Which is his comic book self, basically, for people who did not know that. Like, that's just, like, stomach Arnim Zola is kind of like Kang from Ninja Turtles. Just a face and a brain in the stomach.
Yeah. A big prominent role for Arnim Zola, which I don't know why I was surprised by it at all, considering the role he played last week. But I guess I just was that like these were sort of like the players that this like multiversal Infinity Stone battle came down to. I do hope that this episode gets us away from Infinity Stones for a long time. You know, like I do think I'm tapped out on the Infinity Stones.
I agree there. We've seen too much with it. It's also really interesting and funny to go from Loki, which dismissed Infinity Stones so easily, to now having right back to like, Infinity Stones are important. And it's just
right.
Like, okay, I guess. Like, Loki was so just like, they're paperweights for us. And it was just so weird to go from that to they're important again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. There's some stuff there. Let's see. Let's get a little more feedback in. Torby loved this. Torby says that was phenomenal. Fun multiversal crossover that felt contained within the 8 previous universes we met in the past 8 weeks. I loved the usage of phase 1 as the template for this season and culminating in an Avengers project. Torby thought that, that this project, that What If, was better than the original Avengers movie.
Interesting.
Is a Torby take.
I don't know if I agree there, but, interesting.
Torby says the Natasha ending was awesome and I was actually blindsided by it. I was a little bit
agree with that
too.
I like that.
I do feel like it's like the movie, like it's the movie, it's like the show is like being like, yeah, we could bring Natasha back in a future movie. There's like, even if she's dead in your universe, she's not dead in every universe. And Scarlett Johansson and Disney settled their beef. So, you know, was this like sort of like a wink and nod at like future importance of Natasha Romanoff at some point in time?
I mean, maybe. I hope they don't.
I don't think
do
they need it. I don't think they need to
they
do
don't.
It. I think
I
that's
like
a, again
her,
the kind
though.
Of thing
I thought
like
that was cool.
I think like let like Chris Evans like live his life, let Scarlett Johansson live her life for a while. Bring like do like some cool project that brings like the original Avengers back in like 10 years.
Chris Evans,
give them all a decade off.
Chris Evans should appear in live action again, only if they journey to Captain Carter universe and Peggy Olsen is Captain Carter and he's skinny
he's
Steve.
He's Skinny Steve.
That's
again.
It.
Yeah.
He's not the Captain America we know. He's just Skinny Steve.
Yeah.
that's when Chris Evans should come back.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I'm sure that there's something else relatively major from What If that we're not talking about. Kevin, next week on Everything is Super, I believe we have, like a little bit of like a free for all space. We've got a free space on the bingo card next week where we can like do more What If chicanery if we want to just like talk about the concepts of what ifs as it pertains to various superhero stories, not just Marvel. But we also could talk about whatever we want next week. It's going to be a fun show. Basically, just a bonus. Everything is super. We'll take your feedback if you've got it. Otherwise, Kevin and I are just going to make up some kind of nonsense.
Watch Venom 2 again.
Oh, God. Well, we're about to talk about that. But if we if we missed anything in talking about what if... we have the opportunity to do a little more about that next week. I'm sure we'll also like sort of start the process of like turning our attention towards like some of the other stuff that's coming our way in the Marvel side of things. We're just in the superhero side of things right now. And I think it'll be a fun show.
Give some recommendations, I think, right? We talked about like the What If Marvel comic.
Yeah, I like that.
About that at the beginning. I think I'll give some, you like this as much as Marvel is varied. I'll give some Marvel suggestions on Elseworld stuff. Or rather, multiversal stuff. But I'm also going to throw out some DC stuff because there's a lot there too. So I'm going to do some comics recommendations next week. If you're into this stuff, I'll cool. throw some out.
That sounds fun. So we'll do that. We'll talk about more What If. If you've got further feedback about the show, let us know. We really, despite like ragging on the episode a little bit tonight, we both loved the show very much, especially compared to what we're going to talk about next. Okay, so we are going to talk about Venom 2 in full spoiler detail. If you have not yet seen Venom 2 and you plan to and you don't want it to be spoiled for you, you have to skip the rest of the podcast because we're going to spoil it. So come back next week if you're not going to listen to the Venom stuff, but for now we're going to throw it to our sponsors for this episode of Post Show Recaps, and we will come back and talk about Venom: Let There Be Carnage. Stay tuned. All right, Kevin, we're back, and we've given copious amounts of spoiler warnings, and I think it is now time for us to discuss the art house classic in the making, Venom: Let There Be Carnage.
Yeah, there's gonna be spoilers, and you know what else has been spoiled, Josh?
What's that,
the
Kevin?
The MCU! The MCU has been spoiled!
What is this foul stench?
Good God! Killing my excitement!
Okay.
Jesus!
Okay. Who keeps shooting Kevin out of these cannons? Who keeps shooting him
so
out
much.
Of these cannons? There's a lot to talk about as it pertains to the Marvel Cinematic Universe canon itself. Which is a thing that, like, you cannot leave Venom 2 as a Marvel Cinematic Universe fan and not have so many of your thoughts instantly wrapped up in the fact that the end of the movie takes place in, next to, acknowledges the Tom Holland Spider-Man
universe. I think it's take place in. We are watching...
You know what? It was so indecipherable.
Stuff about No Way Home. Like it was
indecipherable in a way that like I still have so many questions about it, and I feel like the fact that like I can't tell you that like Samuel L. Jackson just walked out from the back of your house and asked you to join his group. There's like no like extraordinary level of clarity for me to the Venom 2 scene. Except that at the end of the movie, we're just going to the end of the movie because it's the big thing to like talk about before we talk about anything else because we're already on multiverse stuff, is that Venom is and Eddie are on vacation together, much earned, and Venom like makes Eddie like trip out or like something happens that seemingly pulls them into another universe where Tom Holland Spider-Man stands unmasked on TV.
Come on. Here's what happened, right? They're there. They're hanging out on vacation. Venom makes a comment as just like, I'm going to show you a bit about what my planet is from. And I thought they were going to be setting up, what is it called? There's like a comic thing where like everyone gets a symbiote, right? Like you get a symbiote and you get a symbiote and you get a symbiote. Like it was a whole thing event. Those names escaped me in the comics. I thought that's what they're going to set up. They're establishing the planet of Venom symbiotes and they're going to come to Earth. And then no, it starts to him showing it. And then things start shaking. And then there's a bright greenish flash and everything changes. The hotel they're staying at is much more high end looking. It's really nice. It's bright out. And on TV is the moment of J. Jonah Jameson talking about the fact that Tom Holland is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What obviously happened, because we talked about this on the podcast, you made me watch the trailer. So now I know for a fact what happens is Doctor Strange does his spell and collapses the universes. To where all the other Spider-Mans are now in that universe. So the Green Goblin, Doc Ock, all those universes just collapsed into ours. And that's the connection. So now I know what happens in No Way Home. Now, I don't know if Venom will for sure be in it, but that's also something I'm not thrilled by. Also, one last thing. Dude, Venom licks Tom Holland's face on the screen. That is a teenager in this world. That is a teenager. He is a 45-year-old man. Like, come on.
I mean, Eddie is. I don't know what Venom is.
Older, probably.
Yeah, it's gross for sure. It's definitely gross. Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love that this has happened. I think you had like an actually like a really good idea in like doing like a story with like Venom and like everybody like, you know, like Symbiote Planet, or is it just like Planet Venom? Probably something like that. Like, do that. That could be a really fun movie. And if anything, like, you guys clearly, all right, say what you want about Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I did not think this was a great movie. I thought this movie I didn't think the movie was very good. Sometimes it made me laugh really hard.
Like when he's in that underground club on stage talking about being like lethal protector.
There were times so where silly. I was just sitting there laughing really, really hard at the movie. But it is just, it's hard to hear. I really would have loved closed captioning. Would have been very helpful for me. Tom Hardy always like transmogrifies his voice in these ways that you just cannot understand what he's saying. His voice work, it's like, it's too good. You gotta stop being like that committed to the voice. So like it can be a little hard to hear Venom. But like if you liked the first one and you liked like the hamminess and the Eddie and Venomness of the first one, like there's no way you don't enjoy Venom 2. Like you, there's just like there's no chance. Like if you liked that first one, you definitely liked the second one. And I think like that stuff was better and more present than in the first one. But God, the action and carnage, awful. Really, 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 really bad as far as I'm concerned. But it's got its own vibe. Just do that. Don't bring that over to the MCU right now.
Don't bring it over. It's
too soon.
I did not like this movie. And that's the thing. Coming off of what was not a great movie to me and then giving me that makes me less excited about the future of the MCU and the future of Spider-Man for that matter. Like, I'm not thrilled about this because, like, it's just, this just proves to me, like, I don't trust Sony with any of this. And the idea that this is where we're heading, that Sony's going to just get Spider-Man back is like, well, I guess I don't care about Spider-Man anymore. But like the other part of it is just the, again, just the audacity of it, right? It's like when Green Lantern ended and the post credits is just like, whoa, Sinestro gets a ring. And it's just like, we just watched that movie and you're going to tell me that you want me to be excited about what comes next? Come on. And that's the thing, like this movie happened and just again, the audacity of them to be like, you're going to be excited about this, right? I want to know also, I this is a generalization. Obviously, I do that all the time and people love yelling me about it. But I just want to see the Venn diagrams of MCU fans and Venom fans and DC Universe fans, because I have a lot of assumptions about where the actual overlaps are. And I don't think it's with the MCU.
Oh, Kevin.
So, like, this happening is like...
To court this is to court death.
I know. But, like, it's just... the vibe isn't there, right? Like, the vibe of the movie we saw is not the vibe of the MCU. And imagining Tom Hardy's Venom with Tom Holland's Spider-Man
it's really hard to picture. It's really hard to picture. It's super hard to picture. And, like, I feel like... You know what? This is, I've talked about this before, I am sure, on podcasts before, but certainly in just like casual conversation with my friends who enjoy talking about this stuff, which is like, it's actually insane to me that there hasn't been like a Batman HBO TV show yet. Like, that is like going to, like, when that happens, when there is like an actual HBO Game of Thrones production level Batman TV show, that's going to be the most popular TV show in the like history of the medium.
They're too busy spending their money on an actual Game of Thrones show that, like, no one wants.
You know, like that, like that's like a thing that, like, when that goes down, it's going to be like the biggest thing in the world, but they haven't done that yet. And I feel like there's just like, why isn't Sony just making their own Spider-Man movies? Why aren't they, if they want Tom Hardy's Venom to go up against Spider-Man, can we as an audience like not tolerate the possibility that there's a movie Batman and a TV Batman, that there's a Marvel Cinematic Universe Spider-Man, and then like a different Spider-Man
that could Tom go up
in live action, whether it's like you bring Toby back if he wants to, or Andrew Garfield or whatever, or you just try a different thing. Like, what, we can handle that. Like, trying to make Tom Hardy fit in with Tom Holland's Spider-Man just because he's the MCU Spider-Man, rather than being like, we could do our own Spider-Man, is, I think, a huge mistake. That's just like, we just want Spider-Man. Like, you can have so many different Spider-Mans. You made a whole movie about that.
Josh, the spice must flow, my man. Like, the reason why is because Tom Holland is a moneymaker right now. And so they want the money. Like, if they bring back Garfield, they're not going to get money. If they bring back Maguire, maybe, but it's been a long time. What they want is the money. And so, like, you bring Tom Holland, like, you take Tom Holland back because, like, Marvel did all the work to make us like Tom Holland and, like, are now like, hey, our contract's over. We're going to take this child. And it's like, okay, bye. And now people who like Tom Holland and Spider-Man will probably go watch that stuff. Probably not for super long, because I think they're going to be like, ooh, I don't like this, and then peace out. And then once again, Sony is where it was with Spider-Man. But that's why, dude, like,
I would love it if they did
what you said. I'm going to hold out something I am not used to doing,
but I'm going to hold
out hope that whatever happens that they're going to do is that they will bring back either their own Spider-Man, or maybe, have Tobey Maguire be the Spider-Man of that universe, and then just keep Tom Holland in our universe, like split universes. That's fine. I'm going to hold out hope that's going to happen. I don't have a lot of hope that's what's going to happen, but I'm going to hold it out, because otherwise, I'm going to be real sad. Otherwise, I'm going to turn into nihilistic Batman that we talked about before. Nothing matters anymore.
Yeah, you're already so close.
I'm so close.
You're almost so close. There. So I just wish that, like, we weren't being treated like dumb children, and instead, like, we trust that you understand that there are different Spider-Man stories, and that you can track
those.
Well, they
have to, because it's in a Spider-Verse Batman.
That's what I said. They made a movie about it. They literally made a movie about it.
We understand it. They just want the monies.
So I definitely have, probably, like, I would classify it as a I think Venom owes me a blood debt for what it's doing, potentially, to
owes you some carnage.
Yes.
I will say, look, do we have anything else to say about that part of the movie before
No, I don't. I would like to talk about the movie. I understand, like, it's hard not to talk about that stuff first, but I would like to talk about the movie a little bit as well.
It's hard not to talk about the rotting corpse of the elephant.
It would be great to discuss the film, Venom, Let There Be Carnage, as well, Kevin. So please, by all means.
First off, I will say, for a movie called Let There Be Carnage, I really wish there was more carnage. Money. They wanted that PG-13, right? And I would have, like, loved if Carnage was legit just, like, devouring people, like, ripping people up. Like, in that breakout scene, like, the violence became cartoonish, and it was sort of like, ah, man, I really wish that we got, like, some actual carnage here, right? Which was unfortunate. I think that was a ding against it, was certainly the PG-13 parts. I wish this movie was more stupid. I really, really wish this movie was more stupid. I wish that, Woody Harrelson was chewing scenery, but I wish he was just a little bit more. I feel like this movie should have, like, really, it held itself back when it shouldn't have. And the parts that were stupid were also not stupid enough. I want Tom Hardy in a lobster tank. Give me him in a lobster tank. But we didn't get that. And, like, that part was, like, disappointing, right? It was also weird with, like, setting up him and Shriek. Was like one of the weird things that they did in this movie, and like part of me was just like, oh, is she gonna use her power to beat them? And it's like, not really. And you're just like, oh, okay. Like, they just felt like they set up a lot of stuff, and then was just like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, like, I do think that there is a large degree to which this movie, like, tried to do a couple things too many, a few things too many, and I think, like, didn't trust Carnage as a villain, or at least, like, couldn't commit to going all the way there that they needed to go to, like, do Carnage right. Like you could really feel that. And like also the fact that like it's a really, really short movie and they're like taking on like the Dark Knight levels of story is like kind of what they're after, you know?
It was so can I use this word, horny, for the Dark Knight? Like Venom on top the cathedral with the 360, I was like, that's Batman. And at right. the end, where it's just like, I have to go, they're gonna chase me. Like, I was like, that's Batman. Like,
it's great.
Sony, oh my god, this is what they did with Spider-Man. They just want to do Batman. They want Batman.
Everyone wants Batman.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, remember? We were talking about how their problem was that they thought that Spider-Man's Batman, and now they're trying to make Venom into Batman. Oh my god, Josh, you broke me.
They have to. Venom's their Batman. They don't have a Batman other than Venom. And so that's what they're trying to do. But like, they're trying to tell too much story in a 90-minute movie. And I think that like a lot of things suffer as a result. Like, take out for me like big issues with sound design. Like, I really like, you know, I didn't like have like the world's greatest sound system in the theater that I saw. I'm going to my local theater, which isn't, you know, the best, but like I love my local theater, so I saw it there. And like the sound, like maybe wasn't, you know, top notch there, but like it felt like they could have done like another pass at like clarity on Venom's voice, because so much of the movie like depends on like the jokes and the timing, which for me like I want to like give like all of like the best instincts in this movie. Like, I want to give a lot of credit to like Andy Serkis's like sensibilities, I think, shining through a bit with like a lot of the comic timing of like when Venom would speak and interject in a scene that otherwise would like in another movie, like they would be aiming for like really, really dramatic. But then like Venom's voice just comes in and totally takes you out of it. So I was like laughing like genuinely pretty hard at some of like the antics that they manifested there. But like they spent so much time spread across storylines, with like the, like sort of like the breakup between Eddie and Venom, taking way too long. Michelle Williams is in like three scenes in this movie. She's barely in it at all.
She's great. And so is Dan. I actually liked Dan, them in the first movie.
Dan was, maybe my favorite character in this one.
100%.
Venom coming around on Dan, stuff like that. I think that like the Venom personality and character, like, I think mostly shines through, and I mostly enjoy him and Tom Hardy. I think it's a lot of the writing around that's not particularly great. And like a lot of like, as you say, I think like the producing, right? Like, I think like a lot of like the behind the scenes, this is what this movie needs to be type stuff. That's where I really feel it in the Carnage arc, which just feels like a really conventional superhero bad guy storyline of like, guys in prison, guy gets superpowers, goes to find and reclaim his long lost love, is doing evil in the name of love type stuff. Like, we've done this was like the Dr. Octopus story in Spider-Man 2. Like, they're like doing this kind
of, which was really the Superman story in Superman 2.
Right. So like they're going for that kind of stuff, and like I think Carnage like ends up being like a really vanilla villain.
Well, they tried to make Carnage Joker, and they tried to make Shriek Harley. Like, it was very clear that was a Joker
personality
motif.
None. At all, which was a
unfortunate
shock. It's Woody Harrelson, you know.
Yeah.
And like there was just like nothing there. His storyline was really, really thin, I thought, and I wanted to like be like scared of Carnage, or at least find Carnage funny in like a way that like I felt bad about, and neither of those things happened at all. I thought Carnage was one of my least favorite superhero movie villains I've seen in quite some time.
It's really disappointing, and like, obviously, I don't know, look, to say this movie doesn't care about story is an understatement, but like, you have moments where it's in the trailer where, you know, they show the confrontation at the end in the trailer itself, of course, where Carnage comes out and Venom's just like, oh, that's a red one. We got to get out of here. We're going to die. And it happens in the movie, but there's no context as to why he knows what a red one is. Like, I didn't think it was going to be like he just bit him and now he's Carnage. Like, I thought there was going to be another symbiote or something. But instead, it's just like, ooh, he's red. That's bad. And it's just like,
right.
About what? Like, what's the context and history on that? Like, why do you say that even? I did like little moments, right? There are moments that made me laugh where he's just like, time to die. And he's like, that's the spirit. No, I meant us. It is time that we die. I thought that was very funny. That's probably the joke that got me to laugh the most. But yeah, like, I wanted Carnage to be, like, really creepy and scary and stuff, but it wasn't. Like, they didn't do, I don't think they did Cletus Kasady well either as, like, a creepy, weird villain. They really
did a lot of, like, the poor, oh, poor me type stuff.
Which, by the way, I will say, as a former journalist, yeah, that's some bad work, Eddie. Like,
that's fine by me, because I think that, like, Eddie Brock being kind of, like, a canonically, like, sloppy reporter is, you know, that's fine. Like, that's, I feel like that's good. So that's, you know, problem with, like, the character crafting, problem with the character as this profession for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, I really, yeah. And then also that ending part just came out of nowhere, right? Like, he's just kind of like, and now I will explain why I was mad at you all this time and what I was trying to do. And I'm like, this is a weird point for this to come out. And it's just be like, I just wanted you to be my friend. I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, they wanted that to be dramatic, and I'm just, like, cracking up over the absurdity of it all.
See, and then, of course, like,
F bomb right after that.
Oh yeah, the deployment of the F bomb in this movie, I really, really loved. I have to say,
you did?
Yeah, I did, because, like, I was, like, so tired. I was so tired by the end of this movie. It's like, I'm really sleepy. Like, because the action in this movie is so bad. The action in this movie is some of the worst action I've seen in, like, a big budget movie like this in a while. Like, it is so hard to, they're, like, so tied up in each other. They're just sort of, like, slopping around.
It's very hard to follow.
Was
the first one for the same reason.
Yeah. Really difficult. But, like, by the end of the movie, I was just exhausted. That was a real surprising feeling by the end of it. And, like, I was, like, suddenly woken up because, like, Eddie's, like, getting this moment from Cletus Kasady being like, I want to give you my final words and, like, let me tell you my story. And you just think, like, it's like his Tears in Rain moment, you know, like his, like, Blade Runner moment, you know? And he's, like, doing his best Rucker Hauer. And, like, it's as if, like, that had ended in Blade Runner with Harrison Ford then shouting,
like, F this guy.
F this guy. And shooting Rucker Hauer. Like, that's what this movie does, is, like, Tom Hardy just, like, cuts him off, or Venom does, and then literally just bites his head off and spits it on the ground. That slayed me. I thought that was really funny. I was like, yes, like, I need something to wake me up. And that woke me up. And, like, at that point, the damage done to Carnage as a character felt, like, undoable. And so, like, just kill him off. That's fine. Get rid of him.
Just, what are these movies going to be moving forward? Like, they're setting up Toxin, another symbiote. Who cares? Like, there's just so much there that I'm just, like,
used Carnage and totally wasted him.
Yeah.
Good job.
Total waste. And now you're setting up who knows what. Like, more symbiotes, it seems, right? With, like, I don't even know how they're going to approach Toxin. Just people who don't know, the character of the cop from the comics is a supervillain named Toxin, who is yet another, I believe, a symbiote. And so, like, maybe they're setting that up. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the chickens. Maybe the chickens will become symbiotes. I'd rather watch that movie. I'd rather watch the movie be that the chickens are possessed by symbiotes and Venom has to fight his chicken pets. I'd rather that, because, again, just give me a stupid movie rather than a bad one. I'd be very happy about it.
I think that's interesting. Sometimes the movie made me laugh so hard. I will eat Mrs. Chen. Sometimes, like, I just...
You may not eat Mrs. Chen. Like, yeah. All the best parts, I feel like, yeah, they threw in the trailer, and it's sort of just like, that is unfortunate. Like, if you watch... This is why, right? Watching trailers can be a tricky thing.
I don't know, but, like, when that stuff would happen, when, like, I was, like... It was, like, watching, like, you know, like, it was like watching, like, Venom and Eddie are, like, doing, like Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan style, like, rom-com stuff in, like, the apartment with, like, one of them is, like, sad and depressed and the other is, like, going and getting the mail with his tentacle while he's cooking and all of this stuff. And, like, I thought that stuff was genuinely very funny. And I think what's a shame is that, like, for the second movie in a row, these two movies that have this stuff that, like, you don't really see that kind of, like, you don't see that sort of tone in a big budget movie like this. That's like, it's kind of like fun and exciting and different, at least for something to, like, feel really different in that way. But then it's, like, mapped with, like, an incoherent story and just action that is so hard to follow, that I think, like, it really takes me out of it. But like, generally speaking, like if that tone had like lasted across the entire movie and they can tweak some sound stuff and the action is better, like I think I walk away from this movie being like, that was really fun. I had like a really fun, stupid time with this movie.
That's what I wanted
like,
too.
There's just like some filmic stuff and like some like clearly like Sony like having like big ideas of like what they want this stuff to be. That I think like lean off, lean back, like trying too hard. We can smell you. We can see you. Like you know that stuff. I feel like this movie falls victim to ultimately, which is a shame because I think it has like Tom Hardy clearly cares about the character. He's clearly really funny as the character.
Yeah, and like like you said, I wish there was again. Like I wish they just put a little more effort into it, right? Because I think the conceit of the romantic comedy stuff is really good, but I feel like it's few and far between, you know, too few and far between. And then they separate them in a way that as hilariously ridiculous Venom in an underground rave club was, I would have preferred more of the romantic comedy stuff happening with them stuck together the whole time. I would have rather had more of their bickering throughout, right? Like having him running around the city and still bickering, I think would have been more amusing to me rather than have the fight happen and they just split apart and then we're watching the two of them separate. Because it feels like they were trying to paint by numbers, right? Like they had the cards of different movie things that'd be cool. And then someone just dropped them and they scattered and then they picked them back up. And it's like, did we get all the cards? It's like, I don't know. Just go, go, go. We got to do it. And so it's like checking boxes, but the boxes are all misaligned. It's like, well, it's movie two. So they got to be separated. That's what happens. The hero loses his power in movie two. And it's just like, okay. And then we have this villain. Like it felt like they were trying to check boxes, but the boxes were all a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like in the villain arc, in a lot of like the structure of the movie, as you're describing, like you could just see like they just like went back to the playbook. And it just doesn't fit. And like you can see
I wish there was more Michelle Williams. I wish there was more Dan. I wish there was more of them interacting with Eddie and Venom. I wish there was a little more of that, you know. I thought that like their dynamic that we had at the end of the first one I thought was fun. The dynamic we had a little bit in this one was also fun. I didn't really. I'm glad it wasn't too pushed. Of like, oh man, I'm still in love with her, right? Like, I don't want that. Like, I'd rather have the relationship of Eddie and Venom, which is where they're leading towards with it, and I preferred that. But their interaction with those two characters would have been really fun. At the end, it was fun. Dan trying to help and then having to run away was fun. Like,
Dan was
all
great.
Those things I thought were really great. And I just, again, wish there was more because cumulatively, that's like 8 minutes of the movie, you know, are those parts, I guess, with those characters. And maybe like another 8 minutes of the comedy beats that are really great. You know, maybe 11. You got 20 minutes, I guess, of an hour and a half movie that are like solid and funny. And then the rest is just a little not great.
Yeah.
By a little not great, I mean a lot not great.
This is a short movie with a lot of bloat, but it killed. It crushed at the box office.
I don't want to talk about that.
It had like a really, really, really big opening. And so like this is success for
100%. And they will take all the lessons they need from it.
Yeah. So
this is how I become nihilistic, by the way. This is it. It's 100% it. I've avoided thinking about this for a week. I've avoided thinking about the fact that you just stated, and it's not great. It's not
it
great.
Did well. It did well.
I'm gonna spiral. I'm gonna spiral down a hole. It's gonna be really bad. I'm gonna lie in this bed late next.
You know what though? I think that,
I'm gonna lie back on this bed and I'll have conversations with myself. And then hopefully the world will change around me and it'll be nice.
I think that, you know, Venom 2 doing really well is not like the hugest surprise to me. I think like maybe it's a surprise insofar as like the time we're living in that it did as well as it did, is maybe a little bit of a shock.
Didn't it beat Shang-Chi opening weekend?
I think so. Yeah. I don't have that stat right in front of me. But it's the second biggest October opening after Joker, I believe.
Yeah, I know. Yep. That's also.
And it did, you know, the first one did well. So like, it's not a surprise that this one did well, but like they're going to make a Morbius, the living vampire movie with Jared Leto, or like it's already made. It's coming out allegedly. You know, they're trying to make this Kraven the Hunter movie with Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kraven.
I'm like, sorry, what?
Yeah, that's a thing. And are these... yeah. It's a thing. It's real.
This is the other thing. This is the other thing that's so weird and is so Gotham. Maybe that's the other thing. It's not even that they're making the good Batman stuff. They're making the bad Batman stuff to me. Where it's like, they're doing all these stories about these Spider-Man villains and there's no Spider-Man. I mean, maybe they will be by the time these two movies come out and that's the big thing. But like, you're doing Kraven and you're doing Morbius and you're doing Venom and there's no Spider-Man.
How are those movies going to do is my question. Like, Venom like has like precedent. It did well. It's doing well. Venom is a recognizable character. Like, that third Spider-Man Raimi movie, like, tried really hard to kill Venom and it didn't happen. You know, like, we like have a Venom that is like popularly received right now, whether you and I like him or not. Like, is anyone coming out in that same force for Morbius the Living Vampire?
If they're connected, yes.
Or the Kraven movie.
If they're doing their universe, yeah, right? If they're doing their extended Spidey universe, probably. It depends on how much that connection is there. If that connection is revealed to be strong in the subsequent trailers, yeah, people are going to go. Because the cinematic universes sell, right? Like, especially big, powerful ones. And if they're going to coast... Like, look, dude, if Tom Holland's in those movies, yep. Yup. Yep. Yeah. People are going to watch
it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we'll deal with that as it comes up. I don't know. Do you think we get Tom Hardy Venom in No Way Home?
I think at this point, probably, man.
I want to watch him. I want Topher Grace to be back as Venom. No, I want Topher Grace's Venom to be back as well, and for the Tom Hardy Venom to eat him.
I actually did comment that. I forgot where. Maybe it wasn't to you, but I was saying like the only thing worth it is if Tom, Topher Grace Venom is there, and this Venom just eats him. But still not worth it enough for me. Just, again.
I know, I understand.
I am now worried about No Way Home, but is all I'll say. Okay. I'm excited about the Eternals still, because that seems completely disconnected.
Well, we got it, like, we're getting close to the point where we need to start looking ahead towards that stuff. But next week, we're not done talking about What If, as we said, so we're going to do all of that. We're going to, you know, relitigate as much as we can. Good. Like, is there a Venom question to get into? Is there further Venom talk to be had? Maybe. Who knows? Like, I'm pretty good leaving it here, but
is going to come in yelling at me about...
we'll go where the show takes us, is where I think we'll go there. But will we see Venom by the end of the year again, I think is an interesting question. I would love to know from all of you out there and Everything is Superland, do you expect that we're going to see Tom Hardy as Venom in the MCU for Spider-Man No Way Home? Was this setting that up? That's what I want to know. Write in superatpostshowrecaps.com or interact with Kevin and I when you join the Post Show Recaps Patreon, which I would expect has already happened because you were doing that at the start of the show. You were at patreon.com/postshowrecaps signing up at that binge watcher level so you get that campus tour of the Post Show Recaps patron Discord and get those exclusive bonus podcasts, including YA, currently YA, focused on horror, with Kevin Mahadeo and Melissa Woodward. So you already did that, and you can talk to us there in the Discord about what you want us to discuss in next week's Everything is Super.
Yeah, why is very fun. We just did our first week, which was the movie Detention, a very little known film, but it's very, very fun. I actually really recommend that movie for people. You should take a listen to the podcast. Super weird, but it's a super fun movie. And then this coming one, we're doing the Goosebumps movie, which I'm so pumped about. I'm so excited about that.
That's Jack Black, right?
That's Jack Black.
I never saw it. I never watched
it. He's great. I'm a huge Goosebumps fan. I owned up to like, I want to say 90 something of the books when they were coming out. I would get them delivered to my house and I would read them in the afternoon. I'm a big fan of Goosebumps. So it's going to be fun to talk about this film along with my co-host and a special guest maybe.
Ooh, very fun. So, hey, listen, if you want any of that stuff that we're talking about here, It's a click away. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It would mean the world to us. We're celebrating all month long. We're having so much fun. We are Party Thor in the Post Show Recaps Patreon right now, and we want you to come to Vegas with us. Seriously, we have a casino. So consider it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We think you will have a fun time. We appreciate your consideration at any rate. Kevin is at Kev Mahadeo. Kevin, what's up? Anything else that you want to talk about?
I'm just gonna throw out to watch Midnight Mass, which is something I finished. I don't remember if I was talking about that on this podcast. Midnight Mass is phenomenal. Speaking of the month of October and horror, is from Mike Flanagan. That man can do no wrong to me. I've seen his old movie, like Oculus, he did, which is great. Hush, he did The Haunting of Hill House and Bly Manor, and now he did Midnight Mass. Phenomenal piece of work. Yeah, highly recommend that. I got to run into one of the actors from there, which was really exciting for me on a completely random walk with Gus.
You told me that story. Moment. I was blown away.
So was I. It was
it's crazy. That LA magic.
It is the LA magic. It made me very happy. I'm watching Squid Game. So that's going great.
Yes.
Speaking of nihilism.
Yes, I'm actually going to be talking about Squid Game over at Rob Has a Podcast with Rob Cesternino and Chappelle on their Nothing But Netflix podcast over at RHAP, talking about Squid Game this week. So I'm coming on to talk about it. I just finished it yesterday. Not for the faint of heart. Let me just say, you keep hearing about Squid Game. Do not tread. You cannot tread. Do tread lightly. That's what we're trying to say. Like,
yep.
It's a lot. There's a lot going on in Squid Game. Maybe not if you don't like the violence. Very violent. Very violent show. The Squid Game.
How would you do, Josh? How would you do in the Squid Game?
I'd explode. immediately I would find out about the Squid Game. Someone would come and invite me to play it, and I would learn what the first game was, the stakes of that, and I would then explode. What would happen if I found out about the Squid Game?
Amazing.
I feel like if there's a season two, I feel like an episodic Squid Game podcast is probably something we would do around these parts. I feel like it definitely does warrant that in the future. So let's hope for
a season two. Considering how successful it is, I feel like a season two is likely.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Check that podcast out when it pops off on RHAP, and then check out all the other amazing things that are happening on Post Show Recaps right now. We'll be back next week with that bonus show. Just hit us up with things you want us to talk about. We're going to come in with recommendations and stuff. It's going to be a really fun podcast. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.